Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Berg. People grieve in different ways with different rituals. But in a 1993 RV traveling across the continent with a stray dog, well, that's exactly what the lady we want you to meet this week did. She's a mom, a journalist, and an author who has written a memoir about her journeys from devastating loss to healing.
I look at it as something that can encourage people to embrace grief and to make it part of their lives and to not fear it.
That's Laura Farenthold. She's the author of The Pink Steering Wheel Chronicles, A Love Story. We'll meet her and hear her story on this week's American Cafe. Mark Pittman was larger than life. A Kansas City, Kansas native, he stood 1 meter 93 centimeters tall and played linebacker on his high school football team. A journalism graduate from the University of Kansas, Pittman was best known for his prediction of the 2007 subprime mortgage banking crisis. He was also the first person to sue the U.S. Central Bank because of its handling of that crisis. An award-winning financial reporter for Bloomberg, his work won the praise of both his peers and his foes. Laura Farenthold met Mark in a newspaper newsroom where they were both working before his financial journalism career took off. He was the editor, and she was a new reporter. She fell instantly in love. The couple married in 1998 and had two daughters, Nell and Susanna. But on Thanksgiving Eve of 2009, their life changed forever. Mark called Laura's cell phone, and from the time she picked it up, she knew that something was very wrong.
When he called me, his voice was panicked. And one thing he never did was panic. So I raced home as fast as I could through five lanes, and I found him, and it was a gruesome scene. And I had been a Girl Scout leader. I did everything that I could to CPR him, but I knew that I was wasting my time because he had passed.
Mark had suffered a massive heart attack and died in the hallway of their home. Laura says that she and her daughters tried the normal rituals to deal with their grief, but they didn't seem to help. She decided to take her daughters and get away from their home outside New York.
And I thought, you know, I've got to get these kids out of here, and I've got to get myself out of here. So I took them camping out west, and we found that RV, and it just turned out that we spent 32,000 miles sprinkling his ashes throughout the United States and Canada. But my agenda was also to get us out, breathing air, building campfires, climbing mountains, you know, peeing in the woods, you know, really doing like an, I call it campfire therapy.
That decision would turn into a five-year journey where Laura, Nell, and Susanna would take Mark's ashes with them and sprinkle some of his cremains in special places, sometimes remote, out-of-the-way places, with no real explanation why. In total, they would take five trips, and along the way, they picked up a stray dog as a pet, and they bought a fuzzy pink steering wheel cover at a Walmart that Laura jokes was their spiritual guide. But she and her daughters also found healing through letting go of Mark and through the compassion of others.
My goal was to get him to his boyhood home in Kansas. And after the fifth trip, we were in Kansas, and I got him back to the creek where he'd grown up and, you know, played with frogs and that kind of thing, and to a gorgeous sunflower field where we had spent some time one day. And the girls had released him, and that was it. We haven't sprinkled him since. I still saved some ashes. Because they were light sprinklings, not, you know, big scatterings. And he will always be on the bookshelf.
When their journeys were finished, Laura discovered something special about their trips by reading her late husband's journals. Many of the places they had visited, Mark had also visited when he took a cross-country motorcycle trip in his 20s. And Mark had also written about a fictional character who died exactly the way he did.
The trips that the girls and I would do, we would, this is as remote as an Indian reservation on, I think it was 3 million acres. It was tiny. It was like the size of a gas station. And we had picked up a dog there, a stray dog. And in the journal, he wrote about the same dog. He has also written about a historical character that he created named Samuel in the 1860s, who was a homesteader in Kansas. And Mark wrote about Samuel's death exactly the way that Mark died. So it was a little freaky. And I thought, okay, everyone's encouraging me to write a book, but nobody even knew about the journal. So I felt like I had to, because it brought life full circle.
As a journalist with Women's World magazine, Laura had interviewed thousands of women. She told me their biggest fear was how they would live if something happened to their partner. Now she had intimate knowledge of that struggle, and Laura said she felt compelled to tell her story to help others.
People, even in this day and age, still have issues talking about death and facing death. And I just because I was so exposed, I wanted to share with myself by, you know, writing these assignments, if you will, that's what I call them, to myself, as if an editor had assigned them to me, just to get me writing. And then friends could say, oh, you should write a book, you should write a book. I will never write a book. But I did. And I look at it as a service piece. I look at it as something that can encourage people to embrace grief and to make it part of their lives and to not fear it.
If you would like to read Laura's book, The Pink Steering Wheel Chronicles, A Love Story, we will have a link to her website on our Facebook page. We'd also love to hear your questions or comments. If you'd like to hear previous editions of our show, visit voanews.com. Until next time, I'm David Byrd. Thanks for listening.